What a lovely day to be out here in Bolingbrook.
This is all right. This is good. It's an unruly mob of people, Wendy, that have attended this broadcast. A scary, frightening bunch of folks, but they seem nice.
They are nice. I've been talking to a lot of them. We are live from the Bolingbrook Golf Club, the Nest Bar and Grill. I've got all my birdies in the nest today.
Yes.
I'll just see how annoying I can be live in action.
What's the farthest anybody came for today's broadcast? Who traveled the farthest today? Rockford? Anyone farther than Rockford? No, that's it. Congratulations, ma'am.
You win nothing but a round of applause.
We have no prizes. No prizes will be awarded for this whatsoever. This is beautiful, though, isn't it? When I woke up this morning, it was pouring rain, and I thought, this is not going to be pleasant. But, boy, this couldn't be better. This is great.
It's beautiful. I don't golf, but I might stay and take some golf lessons later.
Yes.
A lot of golfers out there?
A smattering.
Three of them.
A smattering of golfers.
Don't tell me you guys just came to see us here, did you?
You did?
Good golly. Oh. We better do something good.
Can I pass along some hopefully friendly advice? They get really weird if you swim in the fountain up front. Be very careful with that. They're very particular about who they let in that fountain.
I will tell you a fantastic burger for lunch here, a little special. If you haven't eaten, I highly recommend. Is it the 720 burger?
The 720 burger. It tastes like Steve Bertrand. It's delicious. I don't know how they nailed the flavor, but they did.
I'm not sure how you would know that either, Bill. But...
really, good point.
I don't know how I do. It's crazy.
Thanks. A big round of applause to Steve Bertrand for warming up the microphones for us. You did a great job with the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you.
That's all you got?
Actually, you're going to cool them down. I heated them up. You're cooling them down.
That's very, very true. You got to talk to some of the people, Wendy, on the way in, I saw. That was fun.
I met some of you, and if I didn't, I will stay around and shake each and every one of your hands before I leave.
Are you running for office?
Yes, maybe. Maybe I'm running for president.
Maybe you are.
Vote for me?
Maybe I'll vote for you.
I don't lie.
No, I know. I know you don't lie. So a couple of the people I talked to, and I know you had a similar circumstance, were disappointed that I'm not currently wearing the pants that I thought were my pants and are not my pants.
Was anyone listening when Bill was talking about his shorts? First, it all started, you got an ink spot.
Yes.
In a very...
The worst place you could get an ink spot. Yeah. I got an ink spot last week, yes.
Tell the ink spots that.
Yes.
So some listeners suggested spraying hairspray on it. So, of course, I travel with hairspray because I like big hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And you sprayed hairspray all over it. It got more vibrant and then did kind of dissipate.
Yes, it did. It wasn't totally gone, but most of the ink spot was gone, yeah.
So then Kevin Richter, by the way, our producer's over here.
Kevin does
a great job with us.
And that's Kevin's film crew. Wherever Kevin goes, he has a film crew.
He's a YouTuber.
That's not weird, is it? No.
So you sprayed the hairspray on, and then we said, you know, use Shout or something and then launder it yourself. And Kevin and I laughed at you when you said you took your shorts to the dry cleaner.
Is that funny? I don't think, that's not weird,
just
is it at all?
A sound, just anyone clap if you've ever taken a pair of cargo shorts to a dry cleaner.
That's nobody.
Not the sound I hear of applause. No claps.
Not a single person.
No, you're an original. Let's say
wow.
that.
Wow.
So, Bill,
I spend about $11,000 a year taking my shorts to the dry cleaners. I guess I'm wasting money.
So you took your shorts to the dry cleaner.
Yes.
Dropped them off.
Yes.
You want to recount the tale of the woman at the dry cleaning place who wasn't really happy to see you?
The lady at my dry cleaner, I evidently present something of a headache to her because anytime I go in there, I get an eye roll from her. Like as soon as she sees me, she just looks at me with her eyes really big, like, what do we have now?
In the back, they're like, here comes the shorts guy.
Right. It's Billy the shorts guy. What is he doing here? So she's always upset to see me for whatever reason, and I told her the story. I said, look, I got some ink on there, obviously, but I've put everything from club soda to baking soda to stain remover, and now they look like this. What do we do now? And she just stared at me, and she goes, well, do what you need to do. I'll fix these like that, and she took them. And then a couple days later, I got the pants back, and I wore them to work, and we learned, Steve was helpful in this, that they're not my pants. They're somebody else's pants. They pulled the old switcheroo. I went inside
I can't believe it never occurred to you.
Well, I went inside my pocket And there was a ring in there, a diamond ring inside the pocket, and it wasn't mine, and it wasn't anyone in my family's.
And it may have been a cubic zirconia. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a snob.
Right. It might not have been an actual diamond. It looked like a diamond.
It looked like maybe a little girl's ring, a tiny little chip of a diamond and a nice little braided.
It's the kind I'd give.
I would, right.
Right. Oh, zing.
Right.
Good one, Bertrand.
Right.
All right, so we weren't sure, though, but you were curious as to how that got in your shorts pocket.
Right.
Which tipped everyone off to, wow, that's weird.
What I liked about it was he teased it from the first half to the second. Hey, coming up in the afternoon, we're going to talk about what I found in my pocket.
Right. Because it could have been anything right. at that point.
And Steve, that's how you keep people listening.
I was just glued.
But it was a diamond ring. That's something substantial. So I asked my family, and it wasn't their ring. Well, yesterday after work, I went to the dry cleaner with just the ring, and I didn't have the pants on,
Why?
But because I came straight from work, and now I'm afraid to wear those pants. I don't know where they've been.
They've been on you.
Actually, you know where they've been.
I do know. That's what scares me the most. So I brought the ring in with me, but I didn't have the pants, and I told the lady the story. And again, I got the eye roll, like, ugh, we just dealt with you. Why are you back so soon? And I said, have any of your customers asked about a missing diamond ring? And she got excited, and she went, yes, two of them. Two separate customers. So I don't know, like, if somebody
they
was listening.
Listened.
That's what I think.
Oh.
If somebody went, I could get a free diamond ring or cubic zirconia out of this deal. That's not bad. So she said, yeah, I have two different customers who said that they have left a diamond ring in a pair of very stylish white shorts. So
it wasn't worth it to lie about it, and I hope she asked to identify the ring, because I just kind of said what it looked like, so I'm not going to anymore.
Right, right.
Because there was something unique about the band on the ring,
right.
Let's just say
that's true. That's very true. So then I said, but all I want, I will give you the diamond ring back and the pants back, but I want my own pants back. She goes, we can't do that for you, sir.
Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know if...
Because those pants have been given out to someone else.
Yeah, but they have a receipt. This was totally a Seinfeld episode, wasn't it?
I don't know. It sounds like it was.
You have a receipt. You have a claim ticket.
It says shorts on it, though.
Yeah, it doesn't get specific. It just says, it says short pants.
Short pants.
Right.
Well, there's
from
someone
a big man.
Out there wearing your pants.
And loving it. Whoever it is, good for you. I'm glad you traded up, because the pants that I gave them were nicer than the ones I got in return.
Nicer how?
Just nicer. I don't know.
Weren't as worn.
Yeah, right.
But style-wise, right. You said it yourself, these look pretty good on
they're
me,
not
even
bad.
Though they're not mine.
Right.
So are you holding those shorts sort of as a bargaining chip?
No, they are. They've
you
got
gave
my,
the shorts back.
No, I still have those.
Right.
But they have. I just want to make an even
didn't
trade.
Why did you bring the shorts in with you?
Yeah, that would have been better, right?
Good God.
Here's a lesson for the kids listening. Whenever you have a similar incident like this, even my friends Kramer and Elaine told me the same.
I don't know where the shorts are.
I don't know where they are, Jerry. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a lot more non-pant-related material, so stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy at the Bowling Book Golf Club on WGN.
And thank you, Veronica Carter. Sorry I said you were Kim Gordon, but I couldn't see who
that's
was
right.
In the
news. We always play musical chairs anyway, so.
Sure.
We like to mess with you guys. We do it just to mess with you.
It works.
Well, we are not in the studio at WGN because we are live in action today. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Bolingbrook Golf Club. It's presented by Allstate agent Christy Bladorn, who, oddly enough, is sitting right next to me.
How did that happen?
Hi, Christy.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, how long have you been an Allstate agent in this area?
22 years.
You don't look old enough to have done this 22 years. 22 years.
I like you. I like you a lot already.
See, that's what you do to women, Bill.
Sure, butter them up.
You do that all the time.
Right.
Was it kind of a family thing? Because I've noticed this a lot with the Allstate agents. Either their parents or some other relatives did it. And it's something you guys like to keep in the family.
Nope.
No, you're a rebel.
I'm a rebel. It was kind of a fun story. When I was in high school, I worked at a pizza place and got fired, and I needed a job right away. So
why'd you get fired? That's what I'm going to focus in on right now.
I was not very good at waitressing.
Ah.
I just don't think that was my calling. And so I started telemarketing for an agent, and that was back in the 80s when telemarketing meant take out the yellow pages, start at A and go to Z in your town. and just started really enjoying being on the phone and talking to people. And from there, just continued to work for Allstate all through college. And then once I got done with college, I decided I wanted to be an agent and put together a business plan and begged, borrowed, and stealed and got a loan. And luckily, my mom helped, and I became an agent.
That's awesome. Where's your office located here in Bolingbrook?
I'm in the same spot I've always been in, which is over for those people from Bolingbrook, right by the high school. I'm at the corner of Schmidt and Lily Cash.
Are there Bolingbrook people here? That is a hard word to say.
Bolingbrook.
I know.
Bolingbrook.
So, yes, applaud if you're from Bolingbrook.
All the people at the bar, isn't that weird? That's peculiar.
All right.
They're just giving back to the community.
Right.
Do you see some of your clients, your customers out there as you look around?
Yes.
And if not, why aren't you going to Christy Bladorn at Allstate?
No, I see some of my customers.
It is a relationship, though, that you get with the customer and their families, because everybody's life changes. So, you know,
indeed.
Bill's daughter going away to college, things change.
Right.
I'm going to have a new driver soon if he ever gets his license. Things change, correct?
They do. They do a lot. And like yourself, you know, I just now have a 16-year-old licensed driver. So
about that. How much does the insurance go up for, and why is it more for boys than girls? And can we do something about that by the end of the show?
We'll talk about that off the air.
But the reason is, statistically, girls just don't get in as many accidents, right? Guys are more prone to...
Because we're better drivers.
That's why.
Yes.
That is why. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
And
no.
Guys die first because we just need it.
You don't want to live with us anymore?
I can't do this anymore.
Well, for like my husband, he probably will, I might put him in the grave, you know, so it makes sense that I have a lot of life insurance on him.
Sure,
so, yeah.
That's a good thing.
All right, and you like to help people, of course, at Allstate and help them get their needs met in various different ways, but you're also passionate about helping people in need, and you have a particular charity that you're very fond of. Why don't you tell us a little about that and introduce your guest?
Okay, well, it's, once again, kind of a cool story because the Allstate agent that introduced me to Allstate that I worked for, his name was Doug Askren. He's now retired. And after he retired from Allstate, after 20-plus years of being an agent, he became passionate about giving his time. And part of being, I think when you're an Allstate agent, you're very lucky and fortunate. You have a good life, and you want to kind of pay it forward that way. And so he became active with Green Harvest Food Pantry, which is located actually probably only within like maybe 10 minutes of here. And after talking to Doug and doing some work, I just really felt like, hey, this is something I want to do as well. You don't have to be retired to give your time. And when you hear Jeff's story, it's just, I mean, it's awesome. I'm like in awe of him. And it's great when somebody sacrifices so much of themselves. And I think at Allstate, our goal is to protect, right, and to make people feel good and make sure that they're secure. And this is something Jeff is doing, not in a good hands insurance way, but something that is like fundamental to your well-being, which is being able to eat, right? And if 1 in 5 kids in the state of Illinois have a food insecurity and 15% of Illinoisans are hungry, then
that's astounding to think about,
isn't
it?
High number.
Right here in Illinois.
Very high.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
And the Jeff you're referring to is the founder of Green Harvest Food Pantry. Jeff Green, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Everything, of course, we just heard about you is true, but talk about it from your side. Why did you begin this endeavor?
Well, I was working for a rescue mission in Aurora, and after about 2 years, my job got eliminated. I was working for the women and their children section of that organization, and when they eliminated my position, the ladies still needed help. And so they were calling my wife and I, and so we started doing holiday food baskets, and so it started building, and then right after September 11, 2001, it was in October, the President of the United States at that time, George Bush, had made a request that we try to create more volunteer opportunities for the American people. And my wife just looked at me and said, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
See if we can start something. And I said, I don't know how to do it. And my slogan is, I make this up as I go, because... I have no clue how to run a not-for-profit, but after 15 years now, here we are.
You're getting pretty good at it now, aren't you?
We are. I got a good group of volunteers around me.
You know, it's funny you say around the holidays putting gift baskets together. That's when a lot of us think about, boy, it must really be bad to not have food on the table, to not have presents. But it's something we should think about year-round, isn't it?
It is. A lot of people think that the hunger stops after Christmas. And really, from January to June is the toughest time for us. People, you know, are now trying to pay off their credit cards and, you know, try to get things back in order. And, of course, then as June comes in, we have everybody going on holidays or vacations. And so people kind of forget about us, and not just food-wise, but volunteer-wise. So you were talking about not everybody's retired. Majority of the people that do volunteer are retired people. And what we do, a lot of it is hard, heavy lifting, sorting of food. We have to go, some of our partners besides Allstate, Walmart, Jewel, Mariano's, they donate to us on a daily basis. Wow. So we have to drive and pick up. Mm-hmm. I'm probably one of the few executive directors that goes out every day and picks up fresh produce, meats, baked goods. But sometimes we just don't have the volunteers, so I need to be out there.
Sure.
But I like to be with the people.
Good. Very good. Does the food stay in the area, Jeff? What's the farthest it goes?
We cover a 9-city area. Mm-hmm. Actually, Bolingbrook just came into our circle about 6 years ago. JFK Middle School did a food drive for us, and that's in Plainfield. But while I was there talking with the students, I started finding out that majority of those kids were really from Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
So
I told you Bolingbrook was huge.
So
you said Naperville.
Oh, they're both.
All right.
So fortunately, my president of the board was there at the time, and I just talked to him and said, you know, they're giving us all this food and almost $1,000 in cash.
Yeah. Jeez.
I think we need to help some of the people in Bolingbrook. So today, when I looked at the numbers, we're helping 21 families in Bolingbrook alone.
Oh, nice. Very, very nice.
And, you know, kids come around. Yeah, a round of applause, please, because that's some admirable work from Jeff Green. Green Harvest Food Pantry. A little double entendre there, Green Harvest, Jeff
bit.
Green. Because speaking of green, you know, you have kids that will have a food drive at school or whatever and non-perishable items. So, you know, you find your soups and you go through your cabinet and the mac and cheese. But it's really important to have fresh produce, and that's part of it, too,
it is,
isn't it?
And because of Walmart and Jewel, we do get the fresh produce. We get fresh dairy products and also meats. They're just items that would be pulled off a day or two before the Best Buy date on it. And then we use it. And if we don't get rid of it quite right away, we will refrigerate it, freeze it, whatever we're able to do.
Jeff, very quickly, when people hear about certain areas, and I guess you could put Naperville and you could put Bolingbrook into this, you go, oh, that's a fairly affluent community out there in the suburbs. There can't be that big of a problem with hungry people, but that's not the case.
You would be amazed. About 4 years ago, I had a CEO living over at White Eagle.
Yeah.
And we all know that's a nice community. And believe it or not, he was living paycheck from paycheck. When I went to visit them in the home, I wouldn't even say half of the house was filled with furniture.
Yeah.
But he thought he would never lose his job. And you, as you know, with the economy,
you never know.
It just shuts down overnight.
And please explain to people that I know pride gets in the way, but it's okay to ask for help, isn't it?
It is. A gentleman actually just called Monday, and he was actually crying. He says, I've been out of work for 6 months. My wife's wanting to know where we're going to get food for the kids. And, you know, we got kids getting ready to go back to school. We need sack lunches, things like that. And he says, I'm sorry, I have to ask. And, you know, you don't have to be sorry about it. The whole concept of the way Green Harvest was set up, my parents were very proud. And we went many, many months without a big nourishing meal. We would, you know, a lot of beans, a lot of potatoes. But I wanted it so if my parents ever decided they want to come into a food pantry, that it would be the best that they come to. And so we try to build dignity to people. So when they walk into our doors, they get a shopping cart. We don't bombard them. We just say, grab what you need. We have limits on things. But, you know, if your kid likes Peter Pan peanut butter over Jif, if we got it, well, let's make your kid happy.
Look at that.
Very admirable. Very admirable.
Where do people go if they want to help? Maybe there's a retiree listening who says, I have some extra time. I'd like to volunteer at Green Harvest. Or maybe someone needs some help. Where do they go for help?
Well, both of you can go to greenharvest.org, and there's a lot of information there. And, of course, you don't have to be retired. We'd love for you all to come over and do a tour with us. But basically, we have different pages there. You can donate online if you want. There's a needs page that tells you different ways to volunteer that way. Then we also have a page that tells you all the things that we're looking for right now, whether, you know, I think right now we're really low on cereal. What was it? It was, oh, corn, believe it or not. We get tons of carrots and green beans, but right
no
now...
No canned corn?
I only have really about 3 cases of corn.
But these needs change constantly,
it
don't
does.
They?
It does. It fluctuates.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we know the story now, Christy. We know a little bit more about the story. So what are we doing to help?
Well, I'm very lucky, and I work for a company that's very generous because yeah. there's nothing more exciting than giving a check for $1,000, especially when it's not your own money.
Yeah, sure. The best time.
So woohoo. And so Allstate has this wonderful grant program, and I had spoken to them, and I said, I have this organization that I think just – because, like, you're talking about donating corn.
Yeah.
Or, like say, for instance, like cereal. Shampoo and, like, hygiene products and all these things, but – Jeff has to drive to Mariano's to get it, and that's gas money. And there has to be electricity in the building.
Yep.
And so all these things, so a check for $1,000 is going to fulfill a lot of those needs that maybe people don't realize that happen behind the scenes. So once again, I can't say enough great things about the company I work for, because Allstate, once again, makes me feel great that I am employed by them, and proud to wear the shirt and proud to wear the name, and so excited that I get to give the check today to Jeff.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to do those pictures. You know, Bill, it's always fun to come here with the giant check.
Sure.
Do not take it to the ATM. People are going to be in line behind you and
it
be mad at you.
It always gets stuck in the drive-thru. Every time that tube, it just doesn't fit.
We'll continue talking to Christy Bladorn, and if maybe you're listening and you want to become an Allstate agent, we'll tell you how that will happen. And once again, a round of applause to Jeff Green, the founder of Green Harvest Food Pantry. If you'd like to help, if you'd like to donate your time, your money, or your food, greenharvest.org. Thank you so much.
All right, a quick break and then more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. And her visa number is 386.
Hey,
no. Not supposed to give that out.
The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is live from Bolingbrook Golf Club this afternoon. It's presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. And really, thanks to Allstate, we have a beautiful Allstate Showcase studio back at WGN, which is awesome to be there every day. But it's so nice to get outside,
sure.
and we thank Allstate for that.
Sure.
Christy Bladorn is still with us. And a question to you. You said you've been doing this 22 years.
Yep.
All right. So if someone's listening and wants to become an agent or an agency owner, what advice do you have for them? How do they find out more information?
Well, you can jump online and go to allstateagent.com, and it will tell you all about the criteria that Allstate's looking for in an agent and how to get started. Or you can always just call me at the office if you have any questions after you look at that and want to talk to an actual live person that can tell you a little bit more about it. I'd be happy to talk it over with them.
Are there any special requirements? Could Bill do it if he wanted to?
Yeah, could I do
you
it?
You have to be slightly insane.
I'm in.
One
I
for one.
Would you qualify?
Yes.
But it offers flexibility, doesn't it?
Overwhelming flexibility. Yeah.
That's so important.
It's totally important. When I first started, like I had said, I was obviously young, so I didn't have a family yet. After becoming an agent, I got married and had kids. And
you're married to another Allstate agent, right? And that's
no.
A, oh, you're not.
Oh,
I thought you were.
No.
Okay.
No way.
It sounded like
my
an arranged
an
marriage
engineer.
For me. I thought Allstate only lets you marry other agents. I got that wrong. I apologize.
No, they would rather there be two agents, right?
Right.
So, yeah, two different offices.
Right.
No, my husband's actually an engineer and works for an engineering firm.
Unless he's a secret agent, just telling you that.
He may be.
A secret agent and an Allstate agent are two different things.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah,
I did not
attend
the meeting.
There's nothing secretive about what I do. I tell everybody what I do.
Oh, good.
And it's a good thing you do, because that's how you get business. Where is your office located again?
I'm on the corner of Schmidt and Lily Cash in Bolingbrook. So for the local people, that's right over by the high school or by 7-Eleven.
And 281 South Schmidt Road, is that it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Her name is Christy Bladorn. A round of applause. Allstate agent for 22 years, doing a great job, and also helping out greenharvest.org. Thanks to Jeff Green as well, the founder of Green Harvest Food Pantry. Thank you very much. We have to take another break, you know.
We're going to take a break, and then one of Chicago's finest comedians, Larry Reeb, joins us in a little while. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Veronica. What a conversation this is about to be. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Bolingbrook Golf Club, presented by Allstate agent Christy Bladorn.
Wendy, let me point out, I think the people here are clapping because they mean it, not because we've begged them to clap. I think they really do mean it.
We have not begged them once.
Not even once.
I mean, occasionally we look longingly into the crowd like this.
Puppy dog eyes.
So maybe they'll applaud.
Yes.
It's not working, see?
They
just do
it
when they do it.
Now watch Wendy's eyes and how badly she needs some applause, folks. And
thank you.
They're applauding. And there's actually a basket with donations going around the room right
now. That's what I need. I don't need the pity applause.
All right, you know who's here right now is one of my favorite comics. Larry Reeb has been one of the top comics, not just in Chicago, not just the Midwest, but in the in the world, Larry. I'm going to say
thank
in the world.
That's right.
For a long, long time. He's appearing at Zany's this week. You can see him at Zany's in Chicago all weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. But he's here right now. It's Larry Reeb, everybody. Say hi to Larry.
Thank you.
We all remember Larry Reeb. Don't you kind of hate it, Larry, when people go, oh, my God, I grew up watching you on stage.
I did a Rodney Dangerfield special in 1989, and I get people coming up. I was 12 years old, and I wasn't supposed to watch you. Now I can see you live.
Well, that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
That was, though, the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian special on HBO.
Yeah, young. Look at me now, Bill.
But that was if you were on that, and you were on that.
That was a big deal.
You were a big deal.
Look at me now. I'm at a golf club in Bolingbrook. What happened? Look at all these people. Turns out your crowd is all a bunch of drunks.
No, not all.
That is so not true.
Not all.
She's iced.
Yeah, but everybody
else. I'm just kidding. These are jokes, lady. Don't take it serious.
I have to drink iced tea, too.
I'm going
to
work the crowd, Bill. That's
sure,
what I do.
Go out, work the crowd, Larry. Absolutely. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back in time.
What year are we setting the Wayback Machine?
1977.
Not when you started doing...
That's when I started doing comedy.
1977.
I grew up in Dwight, Illinois, which is about 45 miles from here.
I know it because the women's prison
there's
was there.
There's a women's
there.
Prison
yep,
and a
there.
Mental institution.
Yes.
And my parents
too.
Met. Here I am.
Oh, look at that.
So I started to do comedy, and I was sleeping on my brother's couch in Joliet, and I got a job at Old Chicago in Bolingbrook.
Who remembers Old Chicago?
Huh? And I worked there from 77 to 79. I quit, and I ain't had a day job since.
So you worked there doing what?
I worked in the day, and then I did comedy, and I worked in the games.
I saw
anybody
you
work at Old Chicago? Is there anybody here that worked there?
No one worked there, but many
everybody
of you
went
visited
there.
Old Chicago,
well, maybe
right?
Maybe there's somebody I know, Bill.
Maybe.
That used to work there.
It's possible. It's entirely
is there a guy,
possible.
Like there was this guy, Larry...
Yes.
That's another Larry. You know,
that would be you.
Besides me. Oh. All Larrys are kind of.
I was.
Well, let me tell you the story how I was named.
Do that.
Can I tell you this?
How
sure.
did you become Larry?
Before I was born, Bill, the doctor told my mother he couldn't find a heartbeat, so they didn't think I was going to make it.
Yeah.
And that's why they named me Larry, because they didn't want to waste a good name.
Oh, man.
That's funny yet slightly sad. You know
it's
that,
sad
right?
and funny.
There's undertones of
just
sadness.
Just like me.
When you got the job at Old Chicago, nobody knew it would be the juggernaut that it was. It would revolutionize the amusement park industry.
It was the first indoor amusement park.
I know.
It was.
One in Minneapolis.
Right. Yeah.
It
at
was
at
really
the Mall of America.
Mall of America before that.
Yeah.
It was terribly exciting. I went there. I was on the patrol in eighth grade junior high, and that was our field trip to go to Old Chicago. And that was exciting. You rode the Chicago Loop.
Right.
It also had the world's worst log ride. Do you remember the log ride?
Yeah, you
went up a hill, you went down a hill,
like that,
and it came around.
It's
and
inside.
That was it.
What do you expect?
That was it, yeah.
Well, it should be slight. It's called amusement park. You should be amused.
A little
slightly
bit.
Slightly amusement park.
Right.
Slightly.
That's what they were going to call it.
Right, right.
I also remember there was a lot of neon inside there. Remember? Like, you'd go in there and the lighting was weird. It was like a nightmare almost.
I don't know. Okay, whatever you
no,
say.
No, you know what? I think it did say Chicago Loop done in neon. Yeah, it was I remember neon. That. But yeah, it wasn't the whole thing wasn't neon.
Not all of it. And I was telling Wendy, if my recollection is right, the very first Wendy's restaurants, there were two, one on each side of the mall.
That was in there, yeah.
Was in Old Chicago. It was the first Wendy's, right?
That's right.
Did Dave Thomas work there, too, with Larry Reed?
Yeah, we worked there together, me and Dave.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Those were the days. But you decided that that wasn't going to be your future. You wanted to go.
Well, I was doing comedy, and I just needed a job in the day.
Right.
While I was doing so I worked there.
Right.
I became, actually, you know, I'm known as Uncle Larry. That's when they named me was there.
Oh,
because I was a supervisor, and then everybody was like 16, 15, and they started calling me Uncle Larry, and that's how I got to
because you were like a learned older relative.
Yeah, a loved, beloved uncle.
A beloved uncle, yeah.
Pull my finger, Bill.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't think that would end well.
That's the type of uncle I am, Bill.
That's a very glamorous offer, but I'm going to have to say no.
I am excited, though, Bill.
Why are you so excited?
I just got engaged to Katy Perry online.
What? Wait a minute. Larry.
I'm engaged,
no.
Bill.
Congratulations, Larry.
I'm not sure that's a good thing, Larry.
I was listening on the way, taking notes, preparing for the big skit.
It paid off beautifully.
It did.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. Larry, Wendy asked me a very valuable question, and we'll throw it toward you. If you were going to have a crush on some celebrity, who would it be for you? Is there some celebrity that you really have a thing for?
Honey Boo Boo.
Is it Honey Boo Boo?
Oh, she's
older. She ain't
now.
Old enough when she gets older.
See, that's what you do. You plan ahead, don't you?
Yeah, I'm waiting for about 15 years. I'm going to marry Honey Boo Boo. Online. I'm going to meet her online, I'm sure.
You know, we are in Bolingbrook, and the Bolingbrook Historic Preservation Commission has put some information together about Old Chicago.
Yeah.
And do you know it was conceived by designer-builder Robert Brindle after he visited some place in Buena Vista, California? Any guesses? Are you looking over my shoulder?
No, but is it? Is
Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes.
Is it Knott's
ding,
Berry?
Ding,
wow,
ding.
Larry.
I know my history.
He worked there.
No wonder Katy Perry loves you so much. You're very fast with the
knowledge. I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, of course. Why did it fail? Why do you think? I guess because Great America came and it was bigger and better, right? Is that what did it?
Well, it failed because the stores around it were all like little gift shops.
No
little,
anchor stores. No
there
Marshall
was no
Field or
big
Carson's.
Store.
Right. Right.
That's why it failed.
Right.
And then they hired me as supervisor. I don't think that helped.
The beginning of the end.
This is a true story. I first started in the games, just working at games, and there was this kid, Larry, another Larry, he was in the dart game throwing darts at me. So I was at the machine gun BB gun, so I took a screwdriver and unchained him, and I shot him with the BB gun. And after that, I became the supervisor because I didn't take nothing from anybody.
You know what I noticed? The characters in all of your stories are named Larry.
Yeah, everybody's Larry. All Larrys are weird.
Right, I know.
Is there any Larrys here? No, they didn't make it. See? They didn't make it, Bill. I'm the only one who made it.
You're a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
We have to take a quick break, and then I want to throw out some fascinating facts about Old Chicago that we may have forgotten, and we'll continue talking to Mr. Old Chicago.
Yes,
that doesn't sound nice.
No, it doesn't sound right.
Mr. Old Chicago.
Right, it doesn't sound good. But Larry Reeve is here. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy in Bolingbrook on WGN. That scissors line was very subtle. I like the scissors line.
I know all about subtlety.
Larry Reeve is here, comedian extraordinaire. He's your Uncle Larry. He'll be at Zany's in the city tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Go to zanys.com. All the information's there. His website is UncleLarryReeve.com. And then, Larry, there's a very nice show you have coming up with some WGN personnel, correct?
Yeah, New Year's, I'm going to be at Downers Grove with Steve Cochran and John
McCoss
at the Tivoli Theater.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
You, Steve Cochran, and John McCoss on one show.
I think some others from GN. But
oh, very
nice.
Sure. Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, you did stand up for 10 years. Did you guys ever work together?
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Many times. Always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And how come you got out?
Larry asked me to leave.
He said, quit, Bill.
You're bad for business. You're making people cry. Go home.
And look what's happened to him.
I'm glad
look
you didn't
what
quit,
he's doing.
Quite
look at this. He's big star now.
He is big star.
Yeah.
He's big star.
Yep. He is.
All right, can we just talk old Chicago just to reminisce? A pre-opening party was held on June 17th, 1975. The visitors, I know, this is wild. The visitors saw Chicago turn-of-the-century style architecture, $1 million worth of memorabilia, 200 stores and restaurants. There were that many stores?
At first.
Yeah, by the end there was like three. They actually closed. You used to walk all the way around the entrance. And by the end, the entrance was right in the front because all the stores had closed.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't remember this continuous vaudeville-type entertainment billed as the world's first indoor amusement park. That I knew, but I don't remember the vaudeville-type stuff.
I remember, was it Sally Rand that they brought back? It was some dancer from the 1930s that they brought back.
At a family amusement park.
Right.
That's why they closed right there. They used to, at the end, they had rock bands. They had Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And, oh, I remember that.
And Iron Butterfly.
Yep.
And, like one night they had Senior Citizens Day where the senior citizens would get in free and they saw it was a live show, so they all piled into the stage.
Yeah.
And it was Steppenwolf. And they came out playing, I can't even say it, you know, the Pusher Man?
Yeah.
Right.
GD, the Pusher Man,
yeah.
And then like 200 old people got up and left.
I wish I was there that night. I could have gotten to the front of the stage then.
When oh, yeah.
That was the night the crowd was dropping antacid. Do you remember that, Larry?
Yes. That's good.
How about
I
it?
I used to do stand-up.
He still got
oh,
it,
come
Bill.
On. Stop it. Do you know who used to work there all the time? Do you remember Willie Ames from Eight Is Enough?
Yeah.
He was in a band, and
oh,
he used
yeah,
to come
by. Oh, yeah.
It
was huge drawing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All
wow.
People,
how yeah. do you know that?
I don't know. I just know stuff.
I thought
he
I was.
He used to be a groupie, Willie Ames.
For Willie Ames.
For Willie Ames.
Good taste.
Used to be.
He used to be.
All right, this
he
is.
He got engaged online to Willie Ames.
I didn't know.
All right, I have to quiz both of you. There all was, right. And anybody who knows this, yell it out. They when you went to Old Chicago in the 70s, they were welcomed by the park's mascot. Who knows the name of the park's mascot?
At Old Chicago?
I didn't even know they had a mascot.
Was he, can I ask a side question, was he an animal of some sort?
I don't really know.
Oh, all right, all right.
Nobody ooh, knows.
See? I don't even know that.
Charlie Baffle.
Charlie Baffle.
Is that ringing a name to anyone?
No.
Sounds like a loan shark. It was scaring families. You shook my kid up for $20.
The first corkscrew roller coaster, is that really true, called the Chicago Loop?
Yeah.
Is that really true, how it...
Yeah.
Corkscrew fashion?
It wasn't a regular loop. It was, as the name would imply, it was a side corkscrew, yeah.
A side corkscrew.
That's what we call it in the business.
And there were 31 other rides, including the rotor.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yo-yo.
And what was the one, Larry, they made a movie there with Kirk Douglas, The Fury, right.
The
Somebody
Fury,
just said
yeah,
it.
They made that there.
Andrew
yeah.
Stevens,
yeah.
And that was on a ride called The Paratrooper, and in
right.
the movie, it crashed, and then nobody would go on it in real life.
Right,
they saw,
right.
Because it crashed
that's
in the
true.
Movie, and they went, well, it's obviously not safe. They have
right.
film of Andrew Stevens right. making it crash.
Do you remember The Flume? There was a ride called
that's
The Flume.
That's the log ride that was so sad.
Oh.
Oh, that
yeah.
was the, oh, yeah.
Sad.
Chicago Cat? Also called the Zyklon.
That was the fur ball.
The Windy City Flyer.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't remember any of this. I remember the Chicago Loop. It was white, wasn't it? Just white metal. And it was like a corkscrew.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
Yeah. That I yeah. think so. I don't
yeah.
know.
Lair,
well, I'm glad you survived, you know, the closing of Old Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I quit. I got off the ship when I was singing.
Smart move.
In all the years you've done stand-up, I know you've worked with some incredible stand-ups over the years, some legendary stand-up
yeah.
comedians. Who stands out? Is there a name or two you can throw our way that just of your heroes you worked with?
Rodney Dangerfield. That was
sure.
That was the big one, yeah. And Carlin, I got to meet George.
Did you meet George Carlin? What
yeah.
was that like?
Oh, it was great. He was a nice guy. He came up to me and told me he really liked me and... you know,
and that's and coming from the guy that I would
that
say,
was my guy. I go, I'm glad you're not a jerk because you never know. You
right.
know, sometimes you meet people
right.
and they're not. No, they were all.
But
really
he's
nice.
Probably, wouldn't you say, George Carlin of all the stand-ups ever, probably the best, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he Richard Pryor.
Yeah,
yeah, it's right up there. Yeah, And, nice compliment.
Yeah.
And someone, a friend of mine, Steve, just texted me. Larry Reeb opened up for Elvis Costello at the Riviera Theater in 1986, yeah. And he saw you do that.
Oh, that was unbelievable. They were yelling at me.
Well, because they wanted music.
They wanted music. One lady goes, she goes, you're not Elvis. I go, you're not Priscilla either, so shut up.
You know why you've lasted so long? It's your charm. You're a charming man.
I'm not a scared, Bill. They started yelling. I go, look, I got 10 minutes left to get my money. If you don't shut up, I'll stay up here for 6 hours. You'll never see Elvis. So let me do my 10 minutes, and I'll get off and get my money. Because never, that's the key to count.
Right.
Never get off right. early, because then they can say you didn't do your time and they don't pay you. So no matter how bad it is, you stay up there,
right.
then you get your money.
Larry, I'm going to ask what everyone in the room is wondering. Yeah. Do you do kids' parties?
Yes, I do. I do this balloon thing.
No.
Yeah, no. I bet you do.
No. No, you don't.
All right. What is your website, Larry Reeb?
My UncleLarryReeb.com.
And it's on the internet.
And where will he be performing?
And I'm on Facebook, too. On Facebook. Look at some of them are still on MySpace.
The crowd laughed at the idea that you were on Facebook. Like when you said it, the audience went, I don't think that's good for anybody.
I don't really. What's with the people that post whatever they're doing? You ever seen them people?
Yeah.
Good morning. I just woke up. Too bad you didn't die in your sleep.
Oh. Again, what? Children's party. You can book them, UncleLarryReeb.com. And yeah. You're at Zany's, Chicago.
I'll be there all weekend.
Excellent. And at the old Chicago reunion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be out there.
Right.
Sure, with
weeks.
Charlie Baffle opening Charlie up for you.
Charlie making balloon animals.
Larry, thanks for being
you.
Here. And go see Larry at Zany's. As you know, he's a shy man, but when you get him going, it's always a good time. Thank you, Larry. A quick break, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's Steve Bertrand coming back to join us.
Love Steve Bertrand, big fan of Steve Bertrand.
The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour live from Bolingbrook Golf Course, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. Steve, did you have a lovely little lunch?
I had a very nice Nest burger.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Yeah, with the
Is
onion
Is this the egg on it?
And the egg. You put an egg on anything, I'll eat it. I'm
anything?
Almost anything.
All right.
Yeah. I have egg, you know, my... no one cares about my breakfast. Go ahead.
Anyway, sure, come
that's
on.
That's not true. These people came out because they want to hear about your breakfast.
I bring in every morning a couple of fried eggs over arugula.
Yes.
That's what I eat in the newsroom.
And you eat them cold?
I do. I make them the night before. Yeah.
Cold, over easy eggs?
That does sound good.
I told you they didn't want to know.
Can't you microwave it, like, for 20 seconds and just heat your yolk up?
I like the yolk to be slow enough for me to catch it. And when it's cold, you can catch up to it a little more quickly. It doesn't drip.
And when does your restaurant open, Steve?
All right, can
so
I talk?
So far, I've just got one recipe.
That's all right.
I gotta expand.
You
got to
start somewhere.
It's healthy, though. Eggs over easy with arugula.
Eggs over arugula. It's a movie.
All right, working with the guys all the time, I need to ask you guys if you ever used any pickup lines. I know you're married now. Kevin, you're getting married.
Kevin's getting married
engaged.
In a month,
yes,
by the way.
And paying no attention to our show, really. Yes, you. So have you ever used pickup lines? I don't see either of you being the type to use a pickup line.
I was really never the sort of guy who needed a pickup line.
Right.
Wow.
Hey, I've got eggs over. My eggs are over easy, and I've got arugula. That would have worked.
Really? Would it with you?
No.
No.
I don't
know. So.
Nope.
My yolk is slow. No.
Pick up line, not turn not down tra- line.
They're not called rappel lines.
Time Out Chicago put together some Chicago pickup lines. These are some of the best Chicago-related pickup lines.
But they would only work here in the city in Chicago? They wouldn't work elsewhere?
Well, you can kind of, you can see where they'll relate to Chicago,
all right.
So you can, you know, maybe change them up for various cities.
All right.
But, like, here's one. I could see Bertrand using this one. You must be why they call this the Windy City, because you're blowing me away.
No, oh. That's not good.
Wendy,
really?
Some of these people have just eaten. Are you sure you want to say that? That's terrible.
I didn't say these were good. This is something to groan at.
See, I think you're going to go wind and skirt or something like that. That would be...
That's better.
Right.
Oh, this is really unbelievable. I've had a dry spell longer than the Chicago Cubs. Want to help me make it to the World Series? I didn't write these.
That would never work.
No.
What woman would hear that and want to be interested in that guy? That couldn't work.
You know all I need? Can I buy you a drink?
That's it.
That's really all I need, and
that
would work.
All right.
Could you use $50?
Yes.
Oh, that was fast.
Whoa.
Wow.
Sure can.
That was record time. Sorry, Usain Bolt. Your record's been beaten. Insane Bolt. Just beat your record.
Oh, man, these are really so bad. Have I seen you at the Art Institute before? Or am I remembering a different masterpiece? Again, this is not from me. This is from Time Out Chicago. Oh.
Would the same guy say all these lines?
God, I hope not.
It'd be different guys, right? Oh, no.
You may not be a divvy bike, but I've been checking you out for almost half an hour. Aren't these terrible?
I have found as a rule that if you use the words divvy bike in a pickup line, it won't work.
Actually, just divvy.
Divvy.
Right.
Divvy is the word that just sours the deal.
Sometimes you can get away with bike, but
right,
never divvy.
Right, divvy's never going to work for you.
All right, this one is really perfect.
All right.
Are you a state or local politician because you look scandalous? Or you look good in stripes. That's what they should say.
Actually, of the ones you've read so far, that's the best one, I think. That's the one that would work the most.
You know, this one would honestly work. You know, Empire's filming in Chicago.
Yeah.
Have I seen you on Empire? That's a good pickup line.
Just that?
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, wow,
seems
I must
easy.
Be pretty enough to be on TV.
All right.
That would
yeah.
work.
Yeah, all right.
Some of these I can't say on the air.
Really? Which one?
Do that one.
Yeah.
Everybody cover your ears for a second.
We'll tell you. We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
All right, this might be the worst one. Turns out I didn't need to go up to the top of the Sears Tower to get the best view in Chicago. Oh. Again, I didn't write these. This
that
is
hurts. It physically hurts to hear that.
They're cringeworthy Chicago pickup lines. You can find them on Time Out Chicago. Let's hear your lines, then, after we take a break.
I don't have any lines.
I know you don't. Honestly,
I don't have any lines.
This, honestly, is the best line. Hi.
Hi is the one,
you
right?
Know?
Yeah, that's it. I used to tell girls that I know Steve Bertrand. That always worked, too. I'm a friend of Steve Bertrand.
Sometimes I'd, you know, go up and say, you wouldn't go out with me, would you?
Well, that's good. Yeah. How could that fail?
You did use that one time,
I'm
didn't
sure
you?
I have, yeah.
It seems like your pickup
line. There's no way in the world you'd ever go to a game with me.
No.
Well, no, that's too much negativity. The first one was like, oh, you wouldn't go out with me, would you?
Because then you throw the challenge down.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. Mm. I like it. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more with us, Bill and Wendy, and Steve Bertrand sitting in Bolingbrook for WGN. Did either of you ever have a birthday party in a place other than your home? Did you ever go to like a Chuck E. Cheese or something like that and have a birthday party there?
I don't think I ever did. No.
You never did?
No.
Wendy, anything?
Probably. I don't remember them.
Like, you know, it was fashionable when we were kids to have a birthday party, like at a bowling alley sometimes or that sort of thing.
Where I grew up, they do the bean. You go to a bean field.
Oh, a bean field birthday. Fun, sure. Yeah. I think we've all
Where'd
been to
Where'd
you
grow up again?
In Mantino.
Yeah.
That's always fun, the bean field birthday party.
Right. Cornfield, you get lost. Kids get lost in the cornfield. You can do that.
You need something. That's a fun game to play.
Yeah, but you had to find a plant shorter than the partygoers.
That's why Steve is very tall. Right. He was the survivor and all
I
that.
I could go to a corn
right.
party.
Right. Always the winner in that game. Well, here's a story about a kid. I found this morning. Parker Cook is his name. Young kid, 7 years old. His dream, and I repeat, his dream was to have his 7th birthday party at the Target.
Well, I take it back. I have had a birthday party somewhere if we're counting Target.
Yeah, Target. Does something come to mind for you?
A Target.
Was it a Target? While most kids can't get enough of toy stores, 7-year-old Parker Cook from Syracuse, New York, loves taking trips to Target with his mom. He loves the snacks. He loves the shopping carts.
He's 7?
He loves the fun, yeah.
Well, he probably pushes them around. He's not sitting in them anymore, right?
No, he gets to push the shopping cart.
That's fun.
He
Come
loves
on.
All things red, it says here.
That's Target.
So that's Target, yeah. Most of all, he loves that every toy or gadget he ever wants is there in the aisles of Target.
Yeah.
According to his mom, Kara Cook, he loves shopping there so much that she has to make sure that he doesn't find out that she ever goes by herself. If I stop at Target without Parker, I have to keep it a secret and hide the bag so that he doesn't get upset.
I've had to do that.
With Target bags or another? Yeah.
You know, when they're little, they want something, and that's like, you went without me because they wanted something.
Right. All right. I get it.
But this kid is just looking at the toys, or does he get to play with them in the aisles?
I think he just likes to be around them. There's something about
it. It's more fun to have the toys.
It's way more fun to own them, right, than look at them. I agree with you. So when it came time to organize Parker's seventh birthday party, there was only one location for the festivities that could possibly make sense. His mom says Parker has loved Target since before he could talk, so naturally a Target party was necessary. She stopped by her local Target to chat with the manager, and from there...
And he said, what?
What? What's wrong with your kid? And from there, the Target party was born. While the cafe area doesn't take reservations, I think we're all shocked to hear that, she was free to invite friends and family to the location as long as they didn't disturb the customers. When Kara sent out the invites, she naturally received a few confused replies. Many of the parents responded that they had no idea that Target even did parties. That's called an excuse.
Target didn't even know they
did
parties. No,
we didn't know. I told them that they don't, but we were crashing the place, she said. On the day of his party, guests arrived in red shirts and khakis, that, of course, the official Target uniform. They enjoyed a cake shaped like the store's canine mascot and an in-store scavenger hunt made their Target, and also Target made name badges for everybody. Guests also had to make their own friendship bracelets and get their faces painted. Parker was happier than ever with this unique party setting, and it was an even bigger win for Kara. She told BuzzFeed the whole party from start to finish was about an hour and a half. That's a little short.
That's good. That's good.
That's great for the parent,
shorter
though.
The better. Right. And half of it was the easiest party that I've ever planned. She doesn't talk about the other half. I don't know what went on there. Here it is. There was no cleanup at all after the party. Didn't have to clean up food or anything because we did it at the cafe.
Yeah, but I want to know about the goodie bags and what did the kid register at Target for his
registered
gifts?
At Target.
Did he get Target gift cards?
Yes. Yes. He got snack bars and Mitol.
Phil, don't throw any parties.
What kid wouldn't love that?
Do you know that kids going to college now can register at Target?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not the only one. Maybe Walmart. There are a couple stores now where you can go and register for what you're going to need at college.
But then who funds that? Who pays for that?
Graduation parties. I have to tell you.
You know what? At first I thought that's a terrible idea, but if you do it before your graduation party, it kind of makes a little sense.
Yeah, because I've gone to a couple of graduation parties where they send a link or have a link on the invitation to Amazon.
Right.
And you're like, well, that's weird. But then it kind of took away. Don't most kids want money, be honest?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But didn't our own Kevin suggest to you when talking about a gift for his wedding what he wanted? Is it okay to say?
Yeah, money.
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 He said point blank.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
And didn't you say the more the better?
Like the money. I encourage you. I'm challenging you, actually.
Can I just tell you, though, when you go to a wedding, you want something that means something. So I've been going through Etsy because I thought, I'm going to get Kevin and Sarah a cutting board with their names on it and shaped like a heart. Or I'm going to get them, Mr. and Mrs. pillows for their beds. Right. I wanted to do something.
I got pillows already. I don't need that.
Those aren't pillows. I wanted to do something that really meant something, and then when you said on the air, just give me money, you have taken so much pressure off of me, I can't wait to go to your wedding.
I mean, that's the thing about weddings is it takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we want to get some of that money back.
Yeah.
But
if I'm being honest.
It's like a business deal
for
him.
Yes.
So, Kevin, just so you know, at our house, we still have gifts from our wedding, and I look at them around the house, and I say, look, here's something someone gave me other than money.
Right.
Which I really
want. The fondue pot that no one has ever used.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
Look at this thing that I got at my wedding that's just collecting dust now. How nice.
But can I take a quick poll? How many of you think that money as a wedding gift is a little cold and impersonal? Nobody does.
No.
Everybody went, no.
All right. You're all invited.
You're all coming to Kevin's wedding in a month. See, I'm surprised.
I really thought, you know, if I just give money, that's going to make me look like I didn't put any thought into your wedding gift. And I've been putting tons of thought into it.
Yeah.
What have you been thinking? Money?
I told you, all these Etsy gifts. I'm looking at all these cute little his and hers stuff. But you just want money.
I got my stuff. She's got her stuff. We're good on that.
All right.
My dad found a list. They kept a list. And I guess most people do this after the wedding so you can send out thank you cards when the wedding's done. You kind of keep a list of who gave you what, right? So now
so
keep
you can
in mind.
Gawk at some of the, or balk well, at some of the people that go, $25?
This was 1962. My parents got married in 1962, and he showed me the list of who got them what. Some people gave as little as $3 per person in 1962, and they were doing kind of what Kevin's doing. They were just hoping to break even because they paid for their own service ceremony and all like that. So you look down the list, and there were certain aunts and uncles who it was the aunt, the uncle, and two cousins, and then they gave, you know, $12 or something. That doesn't really cut it. I know it was 1962. I know we're not playing by today's standard
and
money.
And that's all they had, maybe,
yeah, I know,
you know?
I know, I know.
And plus, wedding food wasn't as good back then.
Right.
And the kids got to go. I think back at my cousins' weddings and stuff, and the kids were always there. The food wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And I got sick of dancing with Uncle Frankie.
You'd get the mince. There'd be mince and peanuts at every table, right?
Yes.
But the Jordan almonds.
So I don't know if this is a small town thing, I think, but we used to have, they would put up the like these rainbow posters in the window of the drugstore and the grocery store, wedding dance, you know, Bill and Wendy getting married Saturday, June 22nd, party open to the public at the Sportsman's Club, 7 o'clock. You guys
really?
Never saw that?
Wait, this was separate from your own reception?
No, it was kind of like, there might have been a little thing, but it was the reception. It was a reception wedding dance, and the whole town would be invited. They just put signs up around town, and the whole town would go.
But I know it was a small
town. Did
you
have to bring a gift?
I was younger then, so I would imagine you probably did bring something or a donation. Or.
But even in a small town, did this mean that this would happen like almost every weekend in the town? Or?
That's the way I remember it. There are always signs and for the weddings, and you know, there'd be people you didn't know getting drinking out of the keg and getting in fights at your wedding. And,
people you didn't even know, probably.
It was open to the public. Yeah, but I mean, you know, the idea was you wouldn't go if you didn't know them, but... It wouldn't be.
You know how many teenagers around here would go crash it just
every
to get
wedding.
The kegs?
Every wedding. Well, that doesn't still go on though, right? That was when you were younger.
That was '60s and '70s.
Yeah, not 70s. Anymore.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know when the last one was, but
yeah. How about that?
Whole That's town. Wild. I never heard of that before.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. We need to take a final break. Before anything, I just again want to thank everybody. You guys have been so great to come out here. I hope you've had a good time. Did everybody have fun today? Yeah, for the most part. All right, we'll take a very quick break. Then Ro and Anna will be in next. We'll find out what they have going on. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy in Bolingbrook on WGN. All right, well, that's it, everybody. That's it for our time here in Bolingbrook. I know, it is sad.
It went way too quickly.
It went way too quickly. There are so many people that we need to thank. Who comes to mind right off
Why
the bat,
Why do you
Wendy?
Do that to me?
Because I don't know who these people are.
Why didn't you
they
like,
said,
get
thank
me, give
people,
me, hey, Wendy, so why don't you come up with some
who
ideas?
Who should we thank?
Marlene Wells.
I don't think she deserves it. Marlene Wells is the lady that you see running around, the little streak. That's Marlene Wells, the hardest working woman in show business. She's amazing.
I have
She's
to
over there right
thank
now.
Adam, our engineer, because Adam, I think I had a $5 bet going with Bill that you would forget to turn my microphone on today. So I owe you $5, Bill.
All right, I'll take that $5. So that's Adam. Our producer, Kevin, who works so hard and does such a great job. And
producer Michael Heideman. Beloved.
Michael Heideman, who is Steve's producer. He was here earlier. Thank you to him. Thank you, of course, to Allstate.
So Adam screwed you on the microphone right. at the very end?
Oh.
I guess you owe me $5.
Also, Elif is back in the studio. Michael Heideman and Kristen.
Right.
Shanae.
And, Krista. And, oh, yeah, Krista, engineer Krista. And Kristen Decker is here taking pictures, and Shanae, really,
right.
And it's just been a great time. We thank, most importantly, you guys for
coming
out to see Without us. Yeah,
without you guys, it doesn't make sense. So thank all of you for being here and for being so great to all of us. We appreciate that greatly.
Are we talking to Ro, or is Ro just taking it?
Here.
Oh, hello, Ro.
Hello,
Anna.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
You sound great out there.
Oh, come on. It's
mm-hmm. fun. You should come out and do your show out here.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I have been, that is a great venue. I love that golf club and the course and everything. It's great.
Yep.
Yep.
No complaints.
None. I have complaints.
Well, you have complaints.
I know. That's why, you know, really. Come on. There's a whole crowd of people here. Don't bring them down.